Hi everyone, welcome to A Mobile Mentor. Jay Shetty once said, anyone can be your mentor. It's just a matter of learning from someone else's story. So with that, this is a podcast about navigating life on the move, whether it's from England to abroad, teenhood into adulthood, or personal and professional transitions, all wrapped up in the modern world of change. So take what you need, find your own way, and be happy doing it. Hey chaps and chapettes, welcome back. This week is probably one of my favourite topics of all time because it's very close to my heart. You will find out why. It's all about intuition and trusting yourself and using intuition to make better life choices that feel really good for you and not for anyone else. So I thought it was a great time amidst a lot of sort of, what should we do with life? And also I think for me with peers in their 30s, in my 30s, and lots of life choices needed to be made to talk about this. Because it's not always easy for everyone to access intuition. It's not always easy for everyone to know what it is, what it feels like. I think it's something that's said and maybe it's assumed people know what intuition is, but here I break it down for those who don't. And the reason why it's so important for me is that for a long time, I didn't really know how to access it or listen to it or just disregarded it even. So if this resonates, stay tuned. So I thought this would be a wonderful opportunity to talk about leaning into your intuition. And by that, I mean, talk about the ways in which I have learned to access my intuition, to listen to it, to get better at connecting with it on a daily basis. I used to find it really difficult and live in my head a lot. And I know that all these centers are very kind of portrayed in the Western world as like disconnected, like your head, your heart, your intuition. But there's also a scientific explanation that they're all connected, but we just find it easier to put sort of circles around those three. But what I mean by intuition is like really that sign that you feel that feels, that is like, this is right. And it's like a physical feeling. I think it's also spoken about as like a little voice inside you. There's often lots of little voices that can be seen as chitter chatter. So by intuition, I mean like when something feels really good and settling and right, there's like an ease in your body. There isn't like a tension. There isn't like a scrunch. There isn't like a pang of anxiety. There isn't like a resistance. It just feels light and feels, you know, like that. That's kind of what I'm talking about here. And a sense of like, you kind of can nod, like there's a sense of knowing that you're doing the right thing or listening to yourself or making the right choice. And I always found this really difficult, but the way I got really good at it, here's a physical test that can really help to understand what intuition feels like. If you're someone who's super connected to their body, as someone who is quite theoretical and I live in my mind, this helps to ground me in what intuition feels like physically. And I heard this from, I think it might have been, could have been the School of Life, I don't want to misquote, a really good podcast episode anyway, a while back, and it stuck with me. So the question was, when you think of an option, a decision you have to make, or when you think about something for you in your future, do you feel expansive? Does it make your central part of your body feel like it could grow, or is it like warm in there? And by central part of your body, I mean from like neck to possibly just under belly button, so your main core. Do you feel like you can or you have expanded by just holding that thought in your head or holding that option in your head? Is there like a glow? It's just like a sense of expansion anyway. Or conversely, does it make you feel more constricted or tighter or crunched or sort of like you convulse in any way, like your central part is made smaller, sort of a bit like if you were crushing a Coke can slightly? That kind of image really helps me. Does your body feel like that when you consider this idea, this option, this choice? First and foremost, spending a lot of time alone. So any of you who find yourself often busy, lots of plans, you're a very social person, you're back to back, you live with people, you know, like I know it's really hard to get time alone these days, but if you can, I highly recommend spending long periods alone. I found that through my life going off kind of for days when I could at weekends, or when I was like traveling, I went solo, really allowed me to like access just time to listen to myself and kind of clear the external thoughts and messages away. It's not always as easy, and not everyone can be as lucky as to always go traveling and be like that. But I mean, that was the only way I found that I could really get true time alone, because in new places, I didn't know anyone. There wasn't that, like, you know, people, there wasn't people I knew to fall back on. Different time zones meant I couldn't access people that I needed to. So it put me in a more estranged position in order to rely on myself and listen to myself more. So that was very intentional. So you can do this in any way you can. It doesn't have to be going abroad. But I found that that was like the extreme I needed, because I got so clogged up with all the thoughts of other people and parents and societal expectations and all the shoulds of life, that to really connect to myself and understand what I was thinking and what I believed, I had to be in a really foreign environment in all senses of the word, and really put myself like in a room where I'm like, there is no comfort here, so I have to literally rely on myself and listen to what I need at every point. Second one is journaling, and I think these kind of go hand in hand for me. Journaling is so powerful, and I think you probably heard a lot of it by now, because all the self-help people online are like, but journal, but literally it does work. And for me, it's helpful because I can walk and kind of spend time alone and really think and unpack. But in order to really articulate and explain to myself and like hit and kind of present something back to myself, I need it on paper. I also find it's quite cathartic in like releasing it from the head and inside me that's all swirling around like this bag of fizzy sweets, all these thoughts and ideas, and putting it into pen to paper kind of releases it. So then it kind of like clears me out. Feels like I've like poured some water out the top of like a full cup, so I can like just settle a bit. It's not so full inside. So I found journaling really helpful. And then this also kind of provides me with a log of like where I've been, what I'm thinking, any patterns, or like you start to notice things you've written before and be like, So you kind of connect the dots, and it creates like these synapses and like synergies, and you're like, oh yeah. And you start to realize things about yourself that I find is harder to do when I'm just keeping it all in my head. So it's sort of like an organizational tool. Another one for me is walking. And I know you've probably heard me talking about this a lot. I mean, I am the mobile mentor, but walking around is, I think it's also there's science to this, but moving your body and like creating energy around your body and moving your blood is a way to kind of move the energy, I think, in that you carry within you. So you can be quite stagnant sitting around for hours and like being in one spot, being sedentary. And then sometimes you can feel quite clogged. Well, I do anyway. So I found walking frees that energy, and that also frees up my mind, frees up ideas. Everything's flowing. So I think it just creates a sense of movement and energy on a cellular level. And like, obviously, things can be shaken up and you can kind of access new thoughts or like create more space inside you, especially mentally when you're walking. And obviously we know that walking is really good for you anyway, because it's a way to kind of keep you mentally well. So I think there's that link between freeing up the energy in a very symbolic way and also scientifically. One that I found quite unusual, but I'm really pro now, is talking therapy, but to myself. So I have a voice note app on my phone, which is how I record these fun podcasts to you. And I pull up and open a new voice note recording, and I head out the door and I just start talking to myself as if I'm my own therapist. So I start by putting on a therapist hat. I start by being like, hey, Alex, how are you today? What's coming up for you? Or I sense a sense of tension, or, you know, there's something not right, tell me about it. And then I switch to the other hat of the receiver of that question, Alex. And then I'm like, hey, yeah, to be honest, and blah, 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 blah. So basically start talking to myself from two points of view. And not only does this allow me to feel really comfortable just like speaking my truth, but it also sort of validates me in a weird way, in a way that I find is not always what you get from people you know, because obviously they care for you or have their own agenda or have their advice or way of seeing the world that they kind of can offer you. But I think this is quite unique because you're offering yourself advice, you're also validating yourself and like really connecting to yourself and what you think and believe, and it's sort of like another form of journaling. But I think it's saying it out loud and hearing it. It's like another sense, you know, voice, audio. It's all like creating this more concrete connection with self. So I love talking therapy. Try it. I know it's kind of weird sometimes to do it in public, but I mean, I have to when I'm walking. I think it just goes to that like freeing sensation. Freeing all the thoughts in as many ways as possible. I find that if I'm really confused with certain messages or decisions, another tool I use is sleep. Like, always sleep on it if I don't feel an instant fuck yeah or no, or if I'm like in a gray zone of like trying to work something out or not sure about something, I need sleep on it. I need to take the time. And I used to think I always have to have the answer like immediately, but actually you just need to take some days, you know, and that's fine because we can't all just be like so sure all the time about everything. Sometimes we just need time to understand how we feel about something, to let dust settle, to let emotions kind of flatten out and kind of operate from a place of calm, to find more information out about something we're not clear on, to help us move forward. You know, there's so many reasons why sleeping on it and just taking some days is really useful. And I guess this goes back to my very first one. Another tool I use to access my intuition is just getting out of noisy environments and like being away from too much digital stimuli, because again, our brain's just clogged up with all the things like notifications and pings and to-dos. So you're kind of always in this like action, reactive, like you could say stress-fueled state. And actually I find the best decisions or ways to get into intuition is when I'm in the least stress-fueled state and when I'm actually really calm and like quiet and at ease. So like removing all the fuss and the fodder really helps. A really key one for me that's really helped my journey to access intuition is doing a lot of research. And I've heard, you know, there's some people that might say like doing research might like confuse you even more, and like having all these thoughts and ideas can like just, you know, make you even more unclear about who you are and what you believe. But for me, it's helped because then I can kind of see where I lie within the spectrum of things. You know, if I'm learning about a topic or I'm not sure about something, the more information I find, the more I can feel like I'm just in what I think about it, or that like I've explored every avenue and now I'm really clear, or that I'm just staying open-minded. I think for me, it's the main thing is like learning for me is a great way to know that I can stay curious. I know information always changes. There's obviously new findings that come up. There's new voices in the field. And it really helps me then feel just in what I move forward with. And this isn't for everyone. It's just that I have a quest for knowledge. And it helps me context where I sit. And I sometimes need those boundaries to know where I sit within that range. And the sources that I find really helpful to make me feel more aware and more educated, I listen to a lot of YouTube and a lot of podcasts. I really love like The Economist on YouTube. I love the Hidden Brain podcast. I love ASAP Science podcast. I love Andrew Huberman's podcast. Shan Boodram is a sex educator and psychologist. She has a podcast called Lovers and Friends. It's also on YouTube. Goes without saying, Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett is really helpful, especially when he has a lot of health experts on and psychologists or those who have specialisms in that field. I felt like he used to be a bit of a single-minded sort of person in his earlier days, but I think lately he's made a platform that's really accessible that we can find how we feel about different topics, especially about well-being and longevity. Esther Perel, obviously big name in eroticism and romantic psychology and romantic resilience and just relationships. And I find her great. She does a ton everywhere. She's on YouTube. She's an author. She has podcasts. Where Should We Begin comes up a lot, if you Google that. And also Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, he has his own podcast too that's about bettering your health. And he speaks to lots of, you know, experts in their field, public names, and there's a ton more, but they're the main ones I go to on a weekly basis until I really have a specialist subject or like a theme or conversation I need to hear beyond that, in which I go searching for it. As a queer woman, I also try and look for diverse voices, not just heteronormative sources, and also people of colour, making sure I get a really full picture to understand how I can fit and relate to things and ideas and experiences. So I would recommend that, depending on, you know, your background, your experience in the world, and finding, you know, sources where you can see yourself and lived experience really helps, because I think often the people in the media are a certain type of person, and they don't always speak on experiences that are accessible to everyone. So I think that's really important. Monitoring how I react to friends' news, especially in the domain of, you know, those life checkpoints and those like life milestones and big events that happen, including people having babies, people getting engaged, people buying houses, getting married. Like, these have come up a lot in the last few years, and I've had to really listen to what I've felt when I hear news. Obviously, it's all positive from, like, thinking about my friends because they're celebrating a great milestone. I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. That's beautiful. That's, oh my, that's amazing. Like, wow. Like, ah, you know, all the feelings are excited and like unknown, but completely positive. But it's also how that brings up sometimes something in me and something that I've noticed, especially when I have friends having babies. I feel like I'm like in awe because I'm like, how do you know what to do? And like, how are you even ready for that? So that's interesting for me because it just shows me that I'm not yet there. I think if I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to have my own, like, I'm so excited for you, like, I wish mine would hurry up my journey, then I think that would tell me something. But the fact that when I hear news from their side and when they share their experiences of motherhood or being pregnant, I'm like, I have awe for you, but it's not where I see myself yet. So that's really key. I also feel that when people have said they're getting engaged or getting married, something comes up in me that, especially this year, that has made me think about, made me feel a bit like there's a little bit of heartbreak in it, which is interesting. Like, it's like a sore spot in my reaction. Again, love that they're celebrating love for them, and it can only be celebratory from my end about their love. But then it makes me think inward and reflect that question or feeling on me, and I'm like, why does that affect me? I think it goes back to that wanting to be wanted and that symbol of someone is ready to commit to me in such a big capacity. And I think it's just that gesture piece in which I feel that bit of heartbreak in those moments. And it's not big heartbreak. Maybe heartbreak's such a heavy word, but it's like a twang of like, I want that, you know? I don't know if that sits in jealousy or envy, but it's in a very healthy capacity for me. I don't say those words with like, this big red nasty energy around it. I'm like, oh, I recognize there's an envy there, so that's telling me something about what I want. So I think maybe try that when you have friends having these amazing experiences. Listen to what you feel inside as a reaction, because that gut reaction can say a lot without you even having to think about it. You know, it's like instant, it's already in you, the answer. So I want to end this episode talking about who you shouldn't listen to, because it can be really tempting to do a whole load of research, think about what other people think, check in with loved ones, ask advice, you know, get trusted opinions. And although that can help, and I definitely advocate for it if you are someone who needs that and who, you know, you've kind of leaned on those type of people in the past and it's helped you positively. But I also want to kind of caveat that with saying that a lot of research, and the research I pointed to earlier on in the episode, really helped me kind of gather insights to understand where I sit on a spectrum of things. And it kind of helped me conclude my intuition. It wasn't sort of a place that then brought me to my head and theory and intellect. It was just something that helped me then solidify an intuitive feeling and like having an understanding of intellectuality behind it. So for example, if I knew that I was feeling fearful about something, if I kind of researched more to understand why, I'd be like, oh, that's why I feel fearful. Or if I felt fearful about something, but I didn't think I necessarily should be feeling fearful because it's not that much a big thing, I could then understand that, oh, right, like maybe that's just like my mammalian brain just operating to keep me safe, as it would have done thousands of years ago. So that helped me in that researching part. But what I mean here by who shouldn't you listen to is taking on the opinions of other people who, you know, care for you, who think they know best, or who offer things obviously in very good faith and to support you. But at the end of the day, they aren't you, and they aren't in your position, and they aren't in your experience, and they don't see the world through your lens. So I think what's really important here is to use all the resources available to you, you know, use what's there. There's no harm in leaning on other people. We're social creatures. We are community creatures. We need to lean on each other to prosper. But at the end of the day, my advice, and probably many people's advice, would be to just like, you know you better than you. And although it might not feel that way often, it's really useful to kind of turn off all the little kind of voices that come in. And again, like, take that time before you can really like lean into something or decide what's right for you, because it can get really muddy. Once again, thank you for being here. I appreciate your listenership and just really being engaged. The last episode I brought out, I think the average listen time was 24 minutes, and the episode was I think around like 28 or something. So I'm feeling really good about it. And thank you so much. It means a lot. And just all your comments you send me in my DMs after and voice notes, keep them coming. If you want to have a chat about anything you've heard in this episode or anything anywhere else on the Mobile Mentor, hit me up on Instagram. I'm at @a_blanks. That's BLANX. And I hope you're well. Hi all, thank you so much for listening to the Mobile Mentor podcast. If you did really enjoy yourself, please hit the subscribe button. We are available on all podcast platforms. And if you want some more nuggets of wisdom, follow us on Instagram. We're at The Mobile Mentor, all one word. If you want to send us an email with your thoughts and ideas or suggestions, we're at mobilementorpodcast@gmail.com. Cheers!